Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for home. And we thank you that, as in all things, you are the lexicographer. You define our terms. And we know that home is, regardless of where we may be geographically, home is in close proximity to our loving Father, who redeemed us through Christ Jesus. So we give you thanks. As many of us will be traveling to our biological homes or to family that live at a distance this coming week, we pray for traveling mercies. But may we go or not go with a deep understanding of knowing that our family, our true family, is eternal, not limited by space, not defined by time, but is found as we confess our oneness in Jesus Christ alone. We thank you, Christ. We thank you for the word that will speak to us today by the power of your Holy Spirit, not my word, but yours alone, regarding this King who came both for us. We thank you for him, and we pray in his holy name. Amen. As I've stated, this is the last year, the last week of the church year. Next week we begin again with Advent. It's okay. I'm not as strict as I used to be on keeping Advent separate from Christmas. So some of you begin playing Christmas music in Advent. There's not, there's a special grace for you to do that. But enjoy the season. But hold off a little bit as we build our anticipation for the coming of Jesus Christ incarnate. But we do recognize that this is Christ the King. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ is our King, but that being our King, he gets first and foremost to be able to define those terms. He is a King and he has a kingdom. But this morning in Luke 23, I want to look at the flavor of that kingdom. I looked up in the dictionary this past week what we as humans define as a king. And this is what I read. A king is the male ruler of an independent state, especially one who inherits the position by right of birth. There are two main emphases in this definition of king from an earthly standpoint. The first is that the action of a king is to rule. The king is in charge. The king is the one who has privilege of government. But the second is that the authority of the king is by birth. But we see in the scripture that the kingdom that Jesus is the king of is quantitatively different than that. It is qualitatively different as well. For when we see a king on earth, we're told to look up. We're told to have a parade. We're told to see one who's surrounded with richness and majesty, one who's beautiful and influential. We look up to earthly kings. But at heart of who our king is one who started up but came low. He came down. He humiliated himself. His kingdom is not seen as being elevated. His kingdom is shown in his willingness to come down, coming low and poor and without any beauty and vulnerable. Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. Some scholars would say, and it's probably right, it depends on how you look at certain passages, that there's no other topic Jesus talked more about than the kingdom. And most of what he said about the kingdom was trying to retrain us, to teach us that when we say kingdom of Jesus or Jesus the King, we're not defining that the way we would any other earthly ruler. And in our passage today, we have two non-believers, if you'll allow me to say that, two people outside the realm of the church who define Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say they define them correctly. The first one are the scoffing leaders. Look what they say. They speak a truth that is a half-truth, but the truth is truthful, is correct. Look at verse 35. And the people stood by, watching. But the ruler spoke to him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Now this is a taunt. They're mocking him. They are saying, if you truly are the one you claim to be, save yourself. But I want us to understand that at part of their mocking, at part of their sarcasm and criticism, they spoke the truth. Look what they first said. He saved us. What a wonderful definition of Jesus Christ as a Savior, as a King. But I want us to look for a moment to see how contradictory the notion of being a Savior and being a King is. If you look at a king, no king is going to come to seek and to save. Kings go to seek and destroy. A king doesn't help himself. A king on the earthly side doesn't live for the subjects. The subjects live for the king. It's only in the kingdom of our Lord that the king lays down his life for the subjects. The whole beauty of being a king on this world is you get the best parking spot, right? You get the corner office. You get to tell people what to do. And I think we can see on both sides of the aisle in every nation that we look at, if we look at politics and the way we do ruling, we understand that when you're in charge, there's certain advantages. You get to make the rules. But Jesus Christ would say, no, I am a king, but I'm a king that saves. I'm a king, but I'm a king that comes having made the rules. I'm going to subject myself to the rules so I can save those of you who don't keep the rules. It's just totally backwards. Our king dies so that we may live. He sends himself to the front battle line, so that you can be protected. By the blood of his cross, Jesus reveals his kingdom. And he's given it to us. And he's given it to all of us. He has saved us. And the sad thing is, we're not even a good us, are we? Paul tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that leads to the second definition we see by non-believers. The first one is, he saved others. But then look at the main thrust of these criminals. Let's get verse 39. One of the criminals, and the Greek word there just means evildoers. One of the evildoers, the criminals, who were hanged, railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly. For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. The second truthful statement of this king is when the condemned criminal said, We are getting what we deserve. See, part of Thanksgiving and the week of Thanksgiving is to understand that we are graced with many things that we don't deserve. Gratitude doesn't come when you think you've earned it. Gratitude is not present when you think that why you have certain things in your life is because you deserve it. But when you, like the condemned criminal, says, we're getting what we deserve. He's done nothing wrong. We are evildoers. See, Jesus, as he was prophesied in the Old Testament, is dying surrounded by two evildoers, by two thieves. Jesus is in the middle of the entire world. And I'm going to tell you that these two criminals, these two thieves, are paradigmatic of the entire world. Everyone are one of these two thieves. You have no other option. You're either a criminal, an evildoer who mocks against the king, or you are an evildoer who says, you know what? I am an evildoer. And instead of mocking against the king, you look to the king and simply say, can I be with you? May I be with you? I know I'm justly condemned. I know I'm a sinner. But can I be with you? And Jesus always responds to that request. Today, you will be with me in the paradise. Now the word today doesn't mean a chronological day. It's an eternal day. It's that day when the psalmist said in Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And it's the day that Paul says when he says, today is the day of salvation. And we were talking in Sunday school class this morning, and what's so beautiful here is Jesus is so subversive, but he's so subtly subversive that if you'll allow me to say it, he's picked the pockets of the earthly rulers and they didn't even know what's coming. Because in this picture, you have the epitome of earthly rulers acting as earthly rulers do, and that is by might and power. And they have Jesus and two condemned criminals. And they, as the earthly powers, are stating that they have the ability, as ministers of the gospel, Romans 13 would say, to take life. And in the midst of this display of earthly power, we have this little side conversation going on, where a condemned evil one who knows it and looks and sees Jesus and says, let me be with you. And Jesus looks at him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now we miss the subversiveness of this when we think of paradise the way we normally think of it in a sort of a religious thing. But paradise is actually a Persian word. And paradise was a Persian word that referred to the secret garden, the private garden that the king had. And only the king's most favored people could ever be admitted in paradise. And so what Jesus is saying to this condemned criminal that looks at him, I know there's something like that. I know if you look around, there's not much to be grateful for. Things are tough. I'm not ready to lose my life. You're not ready to lose your life. We are at the bottom of where the earthly powers have ranked people. It doesn't look good for either one of us, but let me tell you, in the midst of all of this, today, you will be with me in my private garden. For I am the King of Kings, and I am the Lord of Lords. Don't let all of this suffering on the outside convince you of thinking that this is the last word. I am the last word, and I'm telling you, when this is said and done, I'm going to enter you today into my private garden. See, we got off track in the garden, didn't we? It was in a garden that was sort of paradise. And we walked with God in the cool of the day. But because we failed to see our place, and because we wanted to be above the one who created us, just like the condemned criminal that was mocking Jesus, we lost paradise. But because Jesus was willing to leave his glory and to come low for us, then he could whisper to one who looked at him on a cross at the bottom of his life, at the absolutely lowest point of his life, you will be with me. That's why I came. Today, you'll be with me in my private garden. So live forever and eternity. Brothers and sisters, the gospel message comes to us today. I don't know what cross you may feel like hanging on. I don't know what burden you may be bearing. I don't know what unfair, unjust situation you may be in, you may feel that this is the darkest point you've ever been at. Our King would say, look to me, and today you'll be with me in paradise. You believe that, brothers and sisters? Let us stand and confess our faith in this King of Kings by reciting the Apostles' Creed. Let us stand together on page 18:1. This is a faith once delivered that we confess unto you, our Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Glory and dominion be to you, Lord God, for your word is alive in creation, is present in the power of the Spirit, and will come in glory on the last day. Be made with the house of David an everlasting covenant. And your goodness is like the sun on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. You sent Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth. He freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom of priests serving you forever. And so with all the company of heaven, we rejoice to sing your praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God approved your Son came to testify to you and to lead us into all righteousness. You have prepared for us such things as pass our understanding. Send your Holy Spirit upon your people, that your word may be on our lips. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
God of all beginnings and endings, your Son declared his kingdom was not of this world. Bless the governance of earthly kingdoms, that it may be ruled justly in spirit and in truth. Visit your children who live in fear, dwell under oppression, experience cruelty, or suffer discrimination. Turn struggle into hope, hope into freedom, freedom into justice, and justice into love. Bring to those who have never known you or have forgotten or rejected you the light of your grace and the thirst for your mercy. Until your Son comes with the clouds and all eyes will see him, and every tribe and tongue will lift your name on high. Every one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Simple gifts of grain and of the vine. They will be for us the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, our King said through the words of the Psalm of David that I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. A table.
I will anoint your head with oil. Your cup will overflow. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We know we're not worthy to have the Lord enter under our roof, but simply say the word, and we will be healed. And as healed children of God, we come forth and receive the very body and blood of Christ. At the Lord's table, I offer it to all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth to come and partake. We partake by intinction. I'll give you a piece of the bread, you dip it into the chalice, and make your way to these rails of prayer. Betsy will be to my left. If you would like someone to join with you in prayer, this is the Lord's table. Let us come together and keep this feast. Amen.